Welcome to That Entrepreneur Life, a podcast about entrepreneurship that takes you from idea to launch and beyond. Each week, your hosts, Andrew Lees and Clint McPherson, discuss different business topics aimed at adding value to any entrepreneur's journey.
Welcome back, everyone, to another episode of That Entrepreneur Life. I'm Andrew Lees, and I'm here with my co-host, Clint McPherson. What's up, man?
Not much, brother. I'm just glad to be here. It's another week starting off strong, and I just want to welcome our special guest today and go ahead and kick this thing off. You know, Julio Maria, how are you doing, man?
Hey, guys. I'm doing amazing. How are you guys doing?
Awesome. Yeah, we're doing great. Feels kind of like the end of the week here, but it's only beginning. So I'm really excited to have you on. yeah, Julio, it's an honor to have you on the show today. Before we get into everything, can you just kind of tell our listeners who you are and what you're about?
Yeah, sure. It's my pleasure to be here, first of all. So I'm just enabler. I enable people to transform and grow. I'm all about power conversations and make sure that people end up delivering their fulfillment to their business, their careers, and to their lives.
That's awesome. Yeah. Well said. Well, we're definitely going to dig into that and learn some more about it.
Yeah. And Julie, as an individual, right, that enables individuals, and you just mentioned it, like that enables powerful personal transformations. Can you take us back, though, and our listeners back to when your entrepreneurial journey started and what it is about entrepreneurship specifically that you're excited about?
Sure. I guess for me, it was when I was in university, where I was just about to graduate and have my degree, and just hit me in the face that I wouldn't have a job after graduation. Like, how am I going to pay my bills? And within my entire university sort of course, I ended up becoming a lecturer assistant. And then when I was just about to graduate, I joined one of my best friends and decided to create a professional training company, mainly because he had all the business background, but he knew nothing about education. And on my side, I was learning how both parents as teachers. So education has been really part of who I am. And that really makes sense. And that's really how we kickstarted. And the reason why I got so passionate around is that my mother was a single mom. I studied in a private school, but then I would go home. I was living in a suburb, one of the poor suburbs in the country. And that contrast was sort of like always interesting to me, you know, how could I, with just one parent, could have so many things and study in a private school, and my home friends, with both of their parents, will be struggling every day, right? Struggling to make a meet end. And I really believe that entrepreneurship is a powerful tool, not only for us to express ourselves as individuals, but also to make sure that we can deliver our impact to our communities and make sure that our abundance is not just within us, but sort of ripples around everyone that we love.
Yeah, love that. So you had that experience from a young age, and you could see what entrepreneurship did. So your mom was an entrepreneur?
She was. Way before she became a teacher, she was a babysitter. She did everything to make sure that my brothers and I had everything. But something that really stood out to me was that she was always an entrepreneurial person. And that's, I think, that most people end up missing, because it feels like we have to choose if you are an entrepreneur or if you are an employee, right? And from where I stand, there is no even something to choose from. If you have an entrepreneurial mindset, you can apply that everywhere in your life. It really comes down to what you're willing to do.
I totally agree. Yeah. We interviewed the editor-in-chief of Entrepreneur Mag, Jason Pfeiffer, and it was interesting because he kind of said something similar. I mean, he's been a writer for his whole career, basically. So he hasn't necessarily started any businesses, always worked for other businesses, but still has that entrepreneurial mindset. So I think it's really cool that you don't have to just, you know, own your own business in order to have that kind of mindset and that kind of spirit. So, I mean, yeah, I love that. I love what you just said there.
Yeah, for sure. We don't have to choose, guys. We don't have to choose. We can do whatever we want in our life. We can live it in our terms.
Right. Exactly. So did I read this correctly, that you have a background in engineering to some degree?
Yeah. So my background is in a engineering with a major in agribusiness. Mainly because when I was in high school, I just saw that human beings were too complicated. I mean, we lie, we cheat, we manipulate, we say what we mean, we don't mean what we say. And I was like, you know what? I don't want to even get close to human beings. Let me focus on plants. I mean, they're simple. You just have to water them, you know, give them a little bit of sunlight, and they just deliver results for you. But then even within my university course, and when I did my first internship, I realized that there was no way running out of people. Right? There's no way running from people. Human beings are the core of everything, right? It's our systems, it's our lives, our worlds, our community. So instead of fighting it, I decided to really take a deep dive into it and understand how we can help human beings to become better so that we can live a better life altogether.
Wow. Yeah, that's super interesting. And the reason I asked that was because I have an engineering background. Also, I still do engineering work. I do consulting work, but I kind of had the same arc actually, where I thought I just wanted to kind of stay away from people. I wanted to just engineer awesome products or engineer awesome things, you know, maybe work on spacecraft or, and just sort of do that with the blinders on. And then, but then I realized, like, exactly like what you realize is that, you know, people are at the heart of everything and communication is at the heart of everything. And, you know, and then I started really getting into business, and I'm every day I'm a little more excited about business and a little less excited about engineering, but I still, you know, I still love both. But yeah, it is amazing. You really do. If you can connect with people, you can do whatever you want.
Oh, for sure. I mean, the way that I sort of wrap my mind around it is that now I'm a power engineer. I help people reconnect with their power, and from that place, be able to share their power with others.
I love how you connected that and just brought it full circle. Because, like Andrew just said, I mean, I'm a person that can be alone. I can do things, you know, and I'm more of a person that, like, if I don't have to leave the house to a certain degree, like after being in the military, I won't, right? But you lose that personal connection with individuals. You start going kind of insane to a degree if you don't have that personal connection with at least somebody out there, right? So, and yes, you brought up a good point, Julio, that people do lie, steal, manipulate, cheat, whatever it is. That's the part of being human. But also, if you really are in a good spot, if you have a good spirit, if you try to do what's right all the time, you wouldn't have to be in that dark place of manipulating, cheating, or whatever as a human being, right? Because even though I think individuals, you know, we have a tendency to try to get our way or try to, like, whether it's manipulate an election, whether that happened or not, you know, that's the realistic thing we're looking at right now in the United States. That's one person that's running is not trying to concede because whatever, who knows what's really going on, but something crazy is going on in the United States. But I mean, we have lost the connection of people, and whether it's the media lying to us, whether it's this or that, you know, it's starting to get crazy, man. And what it is, like, where are we? How have we lost ourselves? And human beings can do that. But you need that personal connection so you can stay true to yourself. And so if you try to lead a good life, if you try to empower somebody, if you try to give a word of encouragement, whatever it is, man, we got to look at us as human beings and know that we need each other, but we also got to treat each other right and not be so ridiculous. And I really don't know, like, I know one thing, the people in the United States right now, we have lost our way. And we have to unite as one in some form or fashion, man. And that's all across the world right now, you know, to where we can come to a common accord and just agree to disagree on certain things and just move forward and stop belittling each other like we currently are right now.
You know, there's so much in what you said. I guess the first thing that sort of struck me was when you mentioned that as human beings, we tend to sort of lose ourselves and find ourselves in dark places. One thing is that I don't think that many of our education system across the board teaches us how to be a good human. most of our parents, they teach us, you know, how to have a job, how to clean the dishes, but people don't necessarily teach us on how to be a good human. The way I like to see it is that this is a huge opportunity for us to determine what a good human really is and decide every single day as a human, right? I always say to people that we have free will, but we tend to mistake free will with the capacity to control our outcomes. They're not free will. That's not free will. Free will is our capacity and ability to decide how we're going to show up regardless. You know, there is this sort of analogy that if you put an egg and a potato in boiling water, after a few minutes, the potato will go soft and the egg will harden, right? So it's not about the environment. It's about who you are made of and who you decide to be every single day. So I guess that will be the first one. The second thing that's quite interesting, since you mentioned darkness, part of my work is really to help people to reconnect with their energy source. Sort of like you can have the strategies, you can have you know, the right sort of motivation to change your context, but if you're not connected with a power source, eventually you'll run out of power, right? You'll end up being depleted, hating your life, thinking that everything is... When it comes down to energy, something I love sort of pitching people with is the concept that darkness is just unlimited potential, unlimited possibilities. Like if you are in a dark room, it's pitch black. You could be lying next to a whale. Yeah, you could be with like orchids around you. You could be, I don't know, with chickens, whatever. But you don't know, right? Yeah, right? The possibilities are infinite. But then as you sort of shed some light into it, that's when things start to have form, right? So it's the dance between chaos and creativity and then structure and order that allows us to live. And within that dance, we are always paying a price, which is our shadows, right? So the shadow is the price that we pay to get the things that we want. So if you want your dream body, well, the shadow or the price might be the consistency, the persistency, you know, showing up every day at the same time to work out, the discipline, those things, right? If you want to run a business, same. There are a lot of things you have to be willing to let go so that you can embody the new version of yourself that is actually capable to taking your business to the next level. So yeah, those it's a really interesting thing. And I found that, especially when you are in moments of chaos, it's so easy for us to focus on who we are that we forget that the only way that we can really collaborate with others is by communicating. And positive communication doesn't come from a place of me and you. That's not how we build bridges. That's how we build barriers, right? So yeah, I always say people try to focus and find a common ground. I know it can be hard, especially when it comes down to politics, but we can all. I remember a specific case. So I'm a pro-feminist. Like, I really believe that regardless of your gender, of your sexual orientation, you should be whatever you want to be. And I was a friend of mine that I didn't saw for years. And when we met, he was pretty much defending that women should just stay at home, catering for the family, because that was a woman's work. For like my mom used to, you know, I was raised by a single mom. So to me, that's like, yeah, I was like, are you sure? But then instead of just trying to fight, you know, I was like, okay, let's take a step back, right? Why do you think that women should stay at home? And after many, many minutes of, you know, me patiently waiting and listening, I found out that for him, family is the core of our society. And he really thinks that someone should be taking care of you know, the children and really making sure that they're growing the best way they can. And for him, women stayed at home was the best way to ensure that it will happen. And something that I just did to sort of challenge his belief was that, well, if my mom decided to just stay at home and cater for us, when she divorced my father and when he passed away, we will be completely lost. So just like in merit of, you know, thinking risks and mitigation, that doesn't make sense. And just with that thought and coming from that place of understanding, we were able to start having a conversation of then what would it be like for, you know, women to actually work and even invite a woman to the conversation, because being honest, I'm not a woman, he wasn't a woman. So in the conversation to actually bring the point of view, really make the deal for us. So yeah, I know it'll be hard, but make sure that you connect with something you guys have in common always.
Exactly. And just have those conversations with people. Yeah. And with yourself, having an honest conversation with yourself too. I feel like we don't do that, you know, enough anymore. Is really like people aren't introspective enough. Everything is the problem, you know, outside of them. And they're not just looking inside and taking a step back and being like, all right, I feel really strongly about this, but why is that? And like, what about the other point of view, you know? So, I think it really does start with yourself and, you know.
Yeah, for sure. And something that you said, Andrew, that, I mean, I've been saying this a lot lately, is that most people, they are in an abusive relationship with themselves and they don't even know it. Like, people just not aware of it. If you look on how self-care is sold, it's all about lighting some candles, you know, bubble baths, wine and unwind, and all that stuff, which they might be good. But can you imagine being in a relationship where your partner, all that your partner does is offering you candles and wine and, I don't know, chocolate cakes, and there's no conversation. You know, there's no apologizing. There's not forgiveness. There is not asking how your days were. There's no planning the future. So if you don't take a little bit of time to do those things with yourself, by the way, spoiler alert, it's going to be the longest relationship you'll ever have with anything, is a relationship with yourself. Eventually, you will be in an abusive relationship because you just don't have that communication, that connection with yourself first. And sort of goes back to what Clinton was saying, that we strive to connect with other humans, but we never connect with who we are. And that's true, right? You cannot give what you don't have. So yeah, for sure. I always recommend people to take at least 15 minutes per day to just stop to think, you know, with yourself. It's just you and you, not by yourself. Yeah.
You got to be comfortable with yourself first, right? Before able to give anybody anything. Like, you got to learn how to love yourself. My thing is, I know so many people, you know, and one of them, you know, helped make me, right? My father, he's somebody that can't be by himself, right? Like, he's been this way his whole life, to where it's like, he does not know how to operate without another individual there with him, making a decision with him, or really, you know, telling them everything's going to be okay. And I think, like, I don't know how that became, but it's toxic too, though, right? Because if you can't operate and you can't love yourself or learn how to be by yourself or learn how to live alone, or, and you always have consistently have to have somebody by your side all the time. I'm not saying, look, don't have a connection with human beings, but I'm saying, if you can't be by yourself in a room, if you can't be content, if you can't just be in that moment and enjoy being with yourself, like, how can you enjoy being with others? Like, realistically, right? And why does it take somebody else for you to be content, right? Why does it take somebody else for you in that moment of time, whether you're like walking through the woods or sitting in a chair reading a newspaper or on the computer, whatever it is that you do, you know, shooting the basketball, going for a walk. I really think those times right there where we have times to ourselves, when we have time to think and have time to reflect on things, whether they're good or bad, and just embrace it. Embrace, like you said, the energy, whatever it is around you, and feel it in that moment, and you relying on other people, man, I think you're more lost than anybody can be in that moment in time. Because me personally, I don't need that. I love my family. I love my wife. I love my kids. But I know how to be by myself too. And I know how to be happy by myself. And depression, you know, I've battled depression from the military and getting injured and playing the what if and why game and all this stuff. And having to go back for multiple surgeries. And like, man, it just, like, if you allow yourself, because we're our own worst enemy at the same time, if you allow ourselves to be in that dark place and not let light shine in, whether it's from family members, whether it's from friends, whatever it is, man, you can like destroy yourself within, and then you are lost and you can't find your way out. And it does take people to help you bring that light in. But at the same time, man, I really think it's, we have to learn as individuals to be here, be in the moment, and be at peace with what is happening, because I really believe everything happens for a reason. We're on this interview for a reason. Anytime I do anything or something bad happens, it's for a reason. Or if it's good, it's for a reason, because it's meant to happen, right?
Yeah, for sure, Clint. I couldn't agree more. First of all, congratulations for that. And second is, even though we need people to help us in some moments, we need to participate in our own rescue, right? If you're building fire, and you know, the fire people came to sort of help you, and you're like fighting and screaming and shouting, they're probably going to just drop you there, right? You have to participate in your own rescue for sure. And I guess the second concept that, as you were saying, it reminded me of something that Emily Fletcher used to say. She is a meditator teacher or a meditation teacher. She says that, I believe it's based on the Vedas, ancient Indian text, that human beings forgot who they are, and they go around the world looking for fulfillment. So we are like a bag of need looking for fulfillment instead of remembered fulfillment looking for need. So the happiness, the love, the joy, those are not things that we can find on, you know, the next cup of beer, the next piece of cake, the next kiss. We are holders of those emotions, and we have to decide where we're going to deliver those emotions to. Is it connection with people that is going to bring you love? Is it connection with yourself that's going to bring you love? And I found that once we start seeing that we have everything that we need, it's just a matter of you deciding where, it's a way more important conversation to have instead of being, oh, I need this to be happy. I'll be happy when, right? You know that you're happy right now, and you get to decide how you're going to express that happiness. And it's a great segue to when I help people sort of manage their emotions, is that most people think, especially now with neuromanifestation, law of attraction, they go like, oh, I cannot have negative emotions. You know, I cannot have negative thoughts. And dude, just part of the human experience is to feel everything. And I challenge people to sort of have this channel analogy. Imagine you're just a channel. You don't get to choose what emotion comes through. You get to choose which emotion stays and how you're going to express that emotion, right? You see the most beautiful songs being written after the most horrible heartbreaks, from Adele to Ed Sheeran, you name it, right? They felt feeling that anger, that sadness, their heartbreak, and they decided to express in a beautiful way. Who told us that when you are happy, we should smile, and when we are sad, we should cry? Where is that written? Where is that guide? Right? You are angry, you should pinch someone in the face. Where is that written, guys? If you just stop and allow yourself to decide how you're going to express your feelings, you find yourself in a much more empowered position, because you get to deliver and you get again to decide how you're showing up every day. That's your free will playing it.
Yeah, that's awesome. I definitely agree with that. And Julia, you believe that we're powerful beyond measure, and that as individuals, we just need to remember that by stepping into our power while enabling others to do the same. As a transformational, influential business advisor, career counsel, facilitator, and speaker, how do you help others increase the reach of their impact? And we touched on that a little bit, but you know, can you kind of dig into that?
Yeah, sure. So the thing with power is that this is the biggest misconception we have, is that people can take our power and we can give our power. That can be farther from the truth. Your power is very innate with who you are and who you identify as. The more you connect your power, and one of the easiest ways to do it is sort of by building an identity capital, which is basically saying how many things you promise to yourself and you actually follow through. You know, like you promise you're going to wake up 9 a.m. Did you wake up 9 a.m.? You woke up earlier or you woke up after that? So having that confidence and that track record about your own capacity to deliver whatever you promise to yourself or to others allows you to remember that you have the power to change whatever you want to change. So that's the first step. And I found that most people are so disconnected with their power because they run in autopilot. They never take time to reflect, right? It's so easy for you to think you are a failure if you just compare yourself with someone on social media, instead of thinking and reflect, acknowledging every single thing that you went through and you survived and you actually thrived. You just take a moment to reflect upon that, to start remembering and realizing that, oh, I actually have the power. I can actually make and drive change. But it's just the first step. Speak of their power, but then they're too scared to step into it, because with greater the power, greater is the responsibility. And most people, being honest, we are afraid of responsibility, right? It's way easier to blame the president, to blame the other candidate, to blame my neighbor, than to assume that I had a role to play in this, and start thinking, so if I had a role in the problem, what would be my role in the solution? Right. So part of my work is helping people and supporting and challenging them to step into that power. And I found that nothing works better than people being raw, real, brutal, honest about why they want to step in their power in the first place. Why are you doing what you're doing? because you want to provide to your family? Is it because you just want to pay your bills? Is it because you really want to change your community? Do you want to be the first one representing your community somewhere? Your why is the one thing that no one can solve from you. And I found that once people are ready to step into their power and they own it, whatever it takes, they realize that power can only be shared. Being here together, you guys being together, I'm being here, we're sharing our power, right? From our community, from our knowledge, everything that we know. That's what happens. What also happens is that sometimes people misuse their power. They just misuse it. They use it on things that they shouldn't be using it. But they can never take it away, and you can never give up your power. You just forgot. And what happens is most people sort of like share with the wrong people, and they forgot they shared. They forgot they had the power, and that allows that person to do whatever they want. And from that place, it's so much easier for you to create your business, for you to grow your business, because you know you are the leading co-creator to your dreams, to your reality. You are leading the way here. No anyone else. It's you. Does it answer your question?
Perfectly. Yeah. So, and it's interesting, you kind of wrapped it up at the end there where you talked about using your power to express your power to other people and to share your power, basically, like you said, we're doing here, which is awesome. And that will help, that can help with your business, right? Because you're, it's interesting that your approach is really like for business development, for business to help improve your business, you're looking at internally first, like how do you fix and optimize the owner of the business or all the people who make up the business in order to then transfer that power through the business and to help people with whatever product or service you're offering. So I really like that because a lot of times we think we forget to figure out ourselves first, and we're the ones driving the business, and we're just focusing on like, how do I get more sales? How do I do this or that? And not looking into like, what am I really good at? And how can I share this with the world? So I think that's
for sure.
A great answer.
So I used to manage, I did it for 2 years. I managed an incubation program here in Mozambique, and that program was packed with literally everything a Mozambican entrepreneur will need in order to grow. And we had around 83% of success and survival rate of the startups that will join our incubator. But something that always lingered to me was, what was wrong with the other 20%? Because they got access to the same network, the same resources, everything was the same. Right? The same business coach, the same mentors, everything was available. But why some people will transform and grow and others wouldn't? And if you just want to take this conversation in a broader sort of level or scope, everyone listening to this podcast knows that if you want to lose fat and gain muscle, you have to, one, focus on your diet, focus on your exercise, and focus on your sleep. And probably if you just grab your phone, you have a contact of this one personal trainer or a nutrition to help you out. Right? So why not everyone listen to the podcast in the best shape of life? So what's stopping
transforming growth? That's a great, great point. Yeah.
You always have those individuals that won't move forward or don't take action, right?
Yeah. And it's not because they're broken or they're sad or, they're just idiots. That's not the truth. What happened is that people are focusing on the 20% of the equation, the strategies you mentioned, and the context. Either they got super clear around what they want and what's stopping them, but then they never focus on the 80%. So the 80% is your identity, your mindset, and your energy. It's sort of, let's say you are a podcaster, right? And you need a computer to do your work, right? You can decide basically on two main sort of types of computer, a MacBook or a Windows-based computer, right? That computer, let's say you decide for a MacBook, it has an identity, a hardware and a software. The same way we as individuals, we have a hardware, our body, and a software, our mind, right? And this is really who we are, who identify us. You identify yourself as a person that can, bounce back from rejection. You identify yourself as someone creative. Who do you think you are? It's really who you are. And spoiler alert again, your identity isn't fixed. You can decide who you are becoming every day. You're not the same person you were 2018, person you were in the beginning of 2020, right? You are always changing. My challenge to you is to decide who you are becoming instead of just being a byproduct of your environment. But then going back to the laptop environment, the laptop example, if you just have a brand new MacBook Pro 2020, you will still have to install some programs, right? Either Final Cut Pro, Adobe Photoshop, whatever it is to make it work. That's your mindset. It's that interface that allows your identity to interact with your world. And even if you install the most premium computers or the most premium programs in the world, eventually you'll have to connect your computer to a power source, right? Doesn't really matter what type of computer, you'll need a power source. And that's when energy comes in to sort of allow you to be aware of who you are, decide how you're going to step up and show up every day, what do you believe in, and then with your full energy, with your full power, you start crafting the strategies to change your context. So that's really, for me, it's been the most biggest aha moments I ever had. From that, I was able to transform my rates from like 80% to 98%. So that's a huge, huge, huge plus for me. And I really believe that, and I've seen clients transform every single day with it.
That's awesome. And that's got to be very fulfilling to see that, you know, firsthand. Yeah. people making transformations. Yeah. And really, really great analogies. And yeah, it's interesting. We really do have the power and the tools around us. It's just a matter of, like I think you said, just taking action. Clint, what you said, I mean, that's the first thing is taking action. And then, and then being consistent too is another thing, and just not getting caught up in all the other BS that's not really relevant or not really helping. But it's interesting. Yeah, we do tend to focus on what the problem is more than what the solution is sometimes, and just getting into what the solution is. Sometimes we're a little afraid to take action because we're afraid that it's not going to be perfect, that we're going to fail, that people aren't going to hear our message the way that we want them to or whatever, but most important thing is just to get out there and be consistent.
Can I add a fear, Andrew? Most people are actually afraid of success, because what people think is, oh, what will happen once my business is actually out there? Get the client, right? Yeah. How do I have to change? How will my life have to change? And it's also stopping people from breaking through as well.
No, I agree. Yeah, and I was about to say that right before you said it. It's two things, right? We're afraid, we're fearful of success, and we're also fearful of failure, right? Yeah. So then you're stuck. A lot of people, that's how they freeze up. They stuck and they don't take action, and that's the thing. It's like, you got to take that leap of faith sometime. You got to take action. You have to be a person of action, especially being an entrepreneur. If you just sit there and you're afraid because, okay, well, I'm afraid to be successful. Now I'm afraid to fail. Like, what are you going to do? You have no options. This is like, you have to go move forward. And that's the thing. And I love how you tied that into it. It's a fear of success.
And when it comes with it.
Exactly. Yeah. What comes with that, you're like, oh man, I don't even know how to act right now, or I don't even know how to manage this portion of, I've never been successful, or whatever it is. Yeah. You know, it's like they start seeing what it could be, and that scares them.
Yeah, for sure. And it really comes down, before people start beating themselves, it comes down to how our brain is wired. You know, if you go back thousands of years ago when you used to live in caves, you just daring to do something different could literally mean you're going to be dead. Right, you're going to get killed. So if it was like a specific way, or a specific place where you get your food, your water, you should always do that. So our brain is pre-wired to keep us alive. Your brain doesn't care if you're happy. The brain doesn't care if you're having fun. Your brain cares you eat, you sleep, and you had sex, basically. Everything else, it's not your brain's concern. But you can change that. You can say to your brain, hey, this is my new standard. Let's focus on this. And that's how you sort of changing your mindset from survival to driving. But it really comes down to you being willing to do the work, to take action.
Yeah. Towards. And when you feel the shift from surviving to thriving, it's amazing. It's a good feeling because, I mean, surviving is, you do what you need to do to stay afloat. But when you start actually thriving, especially in your business, I mean, there's no better feeling than that. So it just feels like living then, finally, like actually living, and not for a purpose and not just to get by. Right. So
yeah,
that's awesome.
So, Julio, through your entrepreneurial journey to date, right? From all the highs and lows, we all go through that. We all have our peak. We all have our valleys. And so what has been the most difficult thing for you? You're a super positive person, but what has been the most difficult thing for you about being an entrepreneur?
Well, that's such a tough question, because oftentimes I wrap up all the sort of downs very easily and very fast so that I can break through. I guess one that comes to mind was, so when we did a strategic meeting at the beginning of the year, we were focused on growing the business to make six figures, because we just launched in September last year. So let's grow the business, make six figures, and, you know, really make sure that we are impacting people and stuff like that. And it was in July when we did the second year, the second semester meeting, where everyone from my team, including myself, were like, what will it take for us to jump to seven figures? And I was so scared, guys, because I already knew how great it was to just run for the six figures. And I was like, but that will mean that we have to change everything. And I was planning, you know, to work with ClickFunnels or the sort of like different service providers to make sure that we have everything up running. But then if you want to go from six figures to seven figures, you have to show up differently. We have to hire different people. We have to hire different service providers. And just the thought of how much money I'll have to invest was out of my mind. And it was fun to, as you know, someone who preaches for people to step out of their comfort zone, here I was, completely contracting and saying with my old good, let's make six figures and then we'll run for seven figures. And I love that my team just sort of jump in and say, Julio, let's do this, right? You're preaching this to everyone. Let's try it. So I guess for me, what it's hard for me to think about that, because oftentimes when a low happens, I'm very fast in sort of integrating and moving forward with it. The example that really sort of kicks in is when in the beginning of the year, you know, we were doing the yearly plan and we were pretty much seeking to making six figure for 2020. And consider that we were just launched September last year, it made sense to hold that vision. But then in July, when we were doing the so-called second semester team meeting, we got challenged to just think about what would it take for us to make seven figures. And before that, you know, I had all my plans to work with different service providers, from ClickFunnels, GoToWebinars, all those different tools and strategies that will allow me to hold and sustain six figures. But then just the thought of having to jump from six to seven figures this year, it was insane. I had to show up in a completely different way. I had to be willing to invest money that I've never invested in my life on anything to make that happen. That will mean for me to hire new people, different people, to work with different service providers that were really capable to delivering, you know, the raw material for us as a company to grow to seven figures. And even, you know, I'm a person who was constantly doing the work, I was contracting. I was falling back to, you know, let my plan, let me seek my six figures. You already hit six figures. You know, guys, let's not be ambitious. This is working for us. And I'm so happy that my team kicked in and was like, no, you're preaching this every day. Let's take the lead. Let's for seven figures. And I'm completely aware that we're probably not going to hit seven figures by the end of the year. But just by stopping in this month, November, the month of this recording, and see how much impact we were able to make, to see how much money we're also able to make, and see that the right service provider sort of like just popping up to our inboxes, you know, making proposals to work with us. That's just insane. It's a very low moment for me, because I really had to forgive myself being contraction, even though there was preaching expansion all the time. And I guess it was a great reminder that this is a constant work, right? Personal development and business, and it's not, you know, once a time type of deal. You have to single day choose the best version of yourself. And I'm super grateful to have my team to back me up in this, for sure.
Yeah, 100%. That's, I mean, and especially with the kind of work that you do, that's awesome that you guys were, that you were able to get through that. But it makes sense, right? It actually going through that again, that feeling again, probably helped you the next time you were talking to clients, like, because you feel it, like you feel connected to that fear of doing something that's outside of your comfort zone. So that's really cool. Just out of curiosity, what did you have to do? What were like the main things that you had to do to shift from six to seven figures, do you think?
The first internally was to start identifying myself as a seven-figure business owner. Just the thought of having, you know, my name and second figure in the same line was like, no. But I like, no. And just having to accept that idea and embrace it, that was a huge shift that I have to undergo internally. That was fun. And two was the belief that, and this is funny because some of the things that we sort of teach is that it's way easier for you to increase tenfold than it is for you to increase twofold. Because twofold is so contractive and you have to sort of balance the power you're delivering to the world. But if you're going to go 10x, it's just showing up at maximum capacity, right? Way easier. Instead of you trying to control your own strength. But then for me, but what if that is too bold? You know, what if I still really talking about energy and mindset and stuff on business environments, people will be like, woo-woo coach, right? No strategy, no stuff. So, but sort of like working on those limiting beliefs within my own mindset was important. And then being able to share that with my team was key, because as we are growing, I will have to stop doing a lot of stuff. And that gave me sort of flashbacks from when I went from project manager to program manager. I had to dramatically and drastically cut a lot of BS. And then my business was sort of like cutting everything that I can possibly cut to give me more mental bandwidth to think about the future, right? Because you cannot be focused on business as usual and business of tomorrow at the same time. Your mind won't be able to, right? And especially when you're moving to a more sort of strategic position, you have to start focusing on business of tomorrow and delegating business as usual for your team. And there's also been an interesting for us to do, especially because we did it with some clients and now we're getting the chance to do it ourselves. So that's also fun. And something that sort of started from the entire process is that we are always creating products from now on. I mean, we are already creating a product out of what happened to help us go from 6 to 7 figures. It's going to be launched, of course, when we hit the 7 figures, but that sort of sense of monetizing learnings on a very quick and effective way is something I'm super grateful for. So instead of just, you know, going to the challenge and sitting with it and having learnings for ourselves, how can we then share that with the world so that other people can also benefit from the transformation as well?
Yeah.
So those are like some of the things that we have to change, that I had to change personally.
Yeah, that's cool. Yeah. And it starts with just believing that you can be a seven-figure business and then working up from there. I love what you said about focusing on the business of tomorrow instead of business as usual, because that's where I think Clint and I deal with that on a daily basis as well. Sort of that balance of, all right, getting the things done that need to be done today. Because they just have to be done. Otherwise, you know, all we're doing is business development, but you have to make sure that you're actually focusing on how are you going to grow the business. And that's not easy to do. So that makes sense. Well, Julio, as we wrap up this episode, if you could leave our listeners with one piece of advice, what would that be?
Ooh, I guess it would be, you know, you always have the chance to choose a different path. I found that oftentimes we tend to give second chances before giving a choice. And instead of you trying to do that with just your relationships and stuff, try to do that with yourself. Before giving yourself a second chance on whatever you're trying to do, give yourself a chance. Allow yourself to choose who you are becoming. And from that place, you should be able to make a more empowered decision towards your future.
I love it, man. Yeah, that's dead on. And I think that right there helps us wrap up this episode. But man, from the both of us, Julio, we want to thank you for taking the time out of your day, brother, and adding value to what we're doing on our podcast.
Thank you very much, guys. It's my absolute pleasure to be here today.
Absolutely, man. Yeah, it was great to have you on. Guys, thank you so much for listening to That Entrepreneur Life. To learn more about what Julio is working on, check out at Julio Maharo. That is at JULIOMUHORRO. If you like what you heard today, make sure to subscribe to our podcast on iTunes or any other major podcast directory. You can also find us on all the socials and on our website at thatentrepreneurlife.com.
With that said, we also want to quickly give a special shout out to our family and friends, to include all of our listeners, followers, and subscribers. Thanks for continuing to support what we do as entrepreneurs. And don't forget to join us next week for another episode of That Entrepreneur Life.
Thanks for listening to That Entrepreneur Life podcast. Be sure to visit thatentrepreneurlife.com to join the conversation, access our show notes, and discover our fantastic bonus content. Don't forget to join us next week for another episode as we continue to add value. Until next time.